This is Brother Brandon coming to you live from Siloam Springs, Arkansas, with another Fish with the Men video broadcast, and it's good to be here this evening. And tonight, I'm going to be talking about the ninth commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness. And so we're going to be getting into that today. And it's been a while since I've done one of these, so just bear with me. It's been a while. I've been pretty busy at work, so I really haven't had a chance to actually do a video, a full-length video. So I'm going to be, I actually have some time tonight, so I'm going to do a full-length video for you guys. So you pray for me. Please pray for me. Please pray for the message. Not sure exactly how the Lord's going to have me say it or speak, but I believe that the Lord will give me the words to speak, so you pray for me. Please pray for the video, the broadcast. Please pray for the ministry, and you know, pray that God will take it and do with it as He wills. Amen. And so anyway, so does anybody know, it's been a while since I've done one of these. But before we begin, does anybody have any prayer requests or any praises? I know, let's see here. I can't get... Oh, here we go. If anybody has any prayer requests or anything like that, you can feel free to put it on the comments section below. Before I get into the message, let me just get into some prayer requests. We have a fellow sister who wants prayer for strength, as well as just for prayers for her mother. We do have a prayer request for a fellow brother for his family and his ex-wife for salvation. Please keep Brother Joey in prayer. Keep him in prayer, because I know there are times that he feels, you know, he has pain and he feels pain. So please pray for comfort for Brother Joey. Let's see here. Please pray for Brother Ryan and his family. Brother Ryan Payton and his family, I'm very good friends with them. So you please keep them in prayer. Keep Brother Ryan's ministry in prayer. Pray that God will take and do with it as He wills. I know Brother Ryan has had some interesting stuff going on in his life, so pray for him and his family. Let's say, please pray for me, my ministry. Pray that God's will be done in my life, as well as all those, you know, just for, you know, God's will to be done in the ministry. Let's see what else. Fellow sisters wanting prayer for the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. So please keep her in prayer. Sorry, my mind is kind of going 100 miles an hour. So if it seems like I'm tuning in and out, please forgive me. I've just got a lot on my mind, so just bear with me, okay? But does anybody have any prayer requests? Anything they want me to pray about? Not just prayer requests, but praises as well? We do have a fellow sister that wants prayer for her grandson. That's been on that for a while, so I don't know if she still wants us to pray for her grandson or not. But you know, please do keep this fellow sister's grandson in prayers. Amen. You know, pray for all that. But if anyone else has any praises or prayer requests, like I said, you can feel free to put that, write it in the comments or whatever you feel comfortable. Or if you don't feel comfortable, if you want me to put something on the list, let me know. Private message me. I may not get to it right away, but if you want something on the prayer list, let me know. I'll be more than happy to pray for you. Please pray for me. I've been kind of going through a lot of stuff lately, a lot of personal stuff. Been struggling with some areas. So you pray for me, all right? Anyways, let's see here. Okay, I think that's going to be it for prayer requests. Now, like I said, it's been a while since I've did one of these, so just bear with me, and we'll go from there. And we are going to be talking about, not bearing false witness. And this, I was in prayer, and before I was in prayer too, just a lot of stuff was just really rushing in mind, so I'm not going to really aim at a specific area. It's going to be kind of a broad message, okay? So it's going to be kind of broad. I'm not going to actually zero in on a specific one. Maybe later, after I'm done with the series, if the Lord allows, I'll go and zoom in on some stuff that is in regards to not bearing false witness. So if you have your King James Bibles, and I only preach and teach out of the King James because I believe that the King James is the pure, inspired word of God. And there might be some things that might be hard to understand, and there might be some things that I don't quite understand, and that's fine. You know, I just have to, you know, God says to not lean on your own understanding. So, you know, I choose to put my faith and trust in the Word, Jesus Christ. This is the Word. The Word became flesh. Amen. Jesus Christ is the Word. He is the Word. He is the truth. He is the life. And there is one, and by the way, there is only one gospel. Now you might say, well, Brandon, that's kind of contradictory, isn't it? There's four gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, yeah, there are. There is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you realize that it's really actually writing about the same thing. Jesus Christ. There is one gospel. Jesus Christ. And I actually posted this on Facebook. I put on there that Jesus Christ is the gospel. What was it? Hang on a second. Jesus Christ is the gospel. I can't remember how I worded it here. Let me go back and look here. My computer. Here we go. I said this. I said Jesus Christ is the gospel made flesh and dwelt among us. And here's the thing. Jesus Christ is the gospel. He is the Word. Your Bible, your whole entire Bible, I don't care if it's, I mean, listen, from Genesis to Revelation, I don't care what book it is. This, your King James Bible, is the whole gospel. You know why? Because gospel means good news. And you can find the gospel all over in the Old Testament. And if you ever get a chance, I have a video. It's not the greatest snapshot video, but it was a message that I did at the VA talking about how you can see different types and pictures of the gospel in the Old Testament. So your Bible is indeed the gospel. You know why? Because every single page in here has been inspired by God. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen. And when the Holy Ghost speaks, he does not speak of himself, but he speaks of the Word. Amen. And Jesus Christ is the Word who became flesh. So, the whole Bible is the gospel. Amen. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He is the gospel. That means there is one gospel, one Jesus, one Bible, one faith, one gospel. Amen? So, like I said, we're going to be talking about the law. We're going to be talking about the ninth commandment. Okay? Now, to refresh everyone's memory, because we haven't done this, we haven't done one of these in a while, okay? But I wanted to point out that when you take a look at the Ten Commandments, okay, it's split in half. So half of the commandments deal with loving the Lord your God. The second half deals with loving your neighbor as thyself. And Jesus said that he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and to love thy neighbor as thyself. And he said that these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And Jesus is right in what he says, because when you do take a look at it, again, half of it deals with loving the Lord your God, and half of it deals with loving your neighbor. Now, we also got into that James says, and see here, if you turn in your Bibles real quickly, if you're in Exodus, turn with me to Exodus chapter 20, and I want you to put your finger there real quick, but we're just going to head over here to James. James chapter 2, verse 10, and it says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." Okay, so, here's the thing. Okay, if you say you keep the law, but yet you offend in one point, you broke all of them. It only takes one to break all. See, when you sin, you transgress against God, but you also transgress his law. It only takes one for you to break the whole law. And so the purpose of this series is to show you that you cannot keep the law. That you cannot keep the law to earn your salvation. If salvation was dependent by your works, what need was there for Jesus Christ to die on the cross? And I'm going to tell you something. Salvation is not dependent on your works, because if it was, then salvation could not have come by faith. Now, is this an excuse to deliberately go off and sin and turn the grace of God into lasciviousness? Okay? No, it is not okay to go off and sin. Okay? Now, I want to point something else out to you too here. Let's just really quickly turning... Okay. In Jude chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "And there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of God, of our God, into lasciviousness, and denying that the Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ." So, just because you can't keep the law, does that mean you can go off and live like the devil? No. Because I'm going to tell you something. For those of you that think that you can live it all up by grace, and not have holiness, and not have chastisement. Now listen, God is grace. He is full of grace and truth, but God is holy, he is just, and he is righteous. But if you're using grace as a means to sin, what you're doing is you're doing what Jude said. You're basically guilty of what Jude said, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. If you're born again today, okay, if you're truly born again, grace will lead you to living a life of holiness. Grace will not enable you just to go off and sin. Grace will enable you to live a holy and righteous life. Just because God gives grace does not mean you should go off and sin. Now, if a believer does that and goes off and sin, there is a sin unto death. Now, we don't know what this is, okay? But if someone sins the sin of death, what that means is that is committed by a believer. And that means that a believer is so far in sin that they bring shame, that God just says, you're coming home. And you die a premature death, and God brings you home. Now, the blaspheming against the Holy Ghost, which, to the best of my knowledge, in a kind of a non-complicated way, is rejecting Christ and rejecting the Word of God. Why? Because Saul, the first king of Israel, rejected the Word of the Lord, and God rejected him. Amen? Saul was not saved, by the way. He was not. Now, some people, and even I, used to point there and say, well, look, Saul was saved, but he lost his salvation. Let me tell you something. If you could lose your salvation, that means salvation is dependent on your works. And the last time I checked, your works are as filthy rags to God. And by the way, if you're saved, if you're truly born again, and you're truly saved and sealed, it is God who keeps you, and it is God who performs that work in you. And if you're truly saved, and if you do something wrong, God's going to make you sorry for it. He will. Amen. So, we're going to be talking about false witness. And I got to pull it up here real quick. False witness. Okay. So, the term false witness is mentioned 19 times in your King James Bible. It is mentioned 19 times. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. And it says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Now in Deuteronomy 5, verse 20, it says, neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor. Okay, Deuteronomy 19:16, it says, if a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong. Now, Deuteronomy 19:18, it says, and the judges shall make diligent inquisition, and behold, if the witness be a false witness, and hath testified falsely against his brother. Now, let me tell you something. What is bearing false witness? It's lying, isn't it? When you lie, you bear false witness. Now, I know you probably have all these goody-two-shoe people, or they like to think that they're goody-two-shoes, and say, whew, well, praise God, that's not me. Really? So you never lied before? Never told a little white lie? Okay, let me take this a step further. Have you ever seemingly told a truth but withheld information that needed to be said, but you intentionally withheld it? Because if you tell truths and yet you withhold information, you're lying. You're bearing false witness. Amen. You're bearing false witness. Let me take this even a step further. For all you people that think that you're good, and all you people who think that they're good and they're holy and righteous, I don't believe you. You guys are a bunch of liars. You know why? Because I got a stinking, dirty, rotten flesh that sometimes there are days I just want to leave this flesh. It's disgusting. This flesh I have is like an abomination. Praise God, I don't have to live in this flesh for like all eternity. Amen. At least I'll get a whole new body. And by the way, if I have a really dirty, rotten flesh, you guys got the same old flesh I do. And by the way, you are just as susceptible to lying as anything else. I'm going to take this a step further. Okay? Claiming something that you are not. Okay? People claiming to be, now I know I'm gonna get hated for this, but people who claim to be born again Christians, now whether they're born again or not, I don't know, that's not my place, but you can tell, you can kind of tell by their fruit. Amen. You can tell by their fruit. But people who claim to be Christian and people who claim to be, well, I don't know, born again and are not, they're liars. They just bore false witness, which, by the way, what did we just read in James? If you break one, you broke all. For you to claim that you are a Christian and you attach the name of Jesus Christ to you and you really don't believe in him, but you're just attaching that because you claim that, you're a liar. And you just bore false witness, which, by the way, doesn't just violate thou should not bear false witness, but that also violates thou shalt not take the Lord thy God's name in vain. You know why? Because you're claiming to be something that you're not. Can I get an amen from God's people on that? You're claiming to be something that you are not. Let me give you an example of that. Okay? Revelation chapter 2, verse 9. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Revelation chapter 3, verse 9. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I've loved thee. Let me tell you something. There are those who claim to be Jews and are not, but they're filthy, dirty liars from the pit of hell. And by the way, if there are those who claim to be Jews, I guarantee you there are those who claim to be Christian and are not. Let me give you an example. Okay? The Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church disguises itself to being Christian, but they're really Babylonian witchcraft is what it is. It's Babylonian witchcraft. And Catholicism, they've persecuted and had born again Christians killed because they refused to acknowledge the Pope. Amen. Now hang on a second. Okay, John chapter 16, verse 2. They should put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. That's the Roman Catholic Church. You see, they're bearing false witness, claiming to be Christian, and what they're doing is they're dragging our Lord's name through the mud. And they're making themselves appear something that they are not. Okay? Now, if you don't believe me, okay, that's one of Satan's tactics. Okay? Satan is the ultimate liar. He is one to bear false witness like there is no tomorrow. Okay? If you don't believe me, okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Let me tell you something. If Satan wants to destroy something, he will transform himself into the very thing he wishes to destroy. Amen. That is, and I'm going to tell you something. We see that most of the American church, they have compromised and they have transformed themselves into angels of light. All these so-called fake and phony pastors claiming to be angels of light, and yet they're really ministers of damnation. Now, you might say, well, Brandon, why do you say that? Why are you saying that they're ministers of damnation? You know why? Because they bring in and they teach damnable heresies, and they make their congregation two times the child of hell than they are. Now, you can hate me all you want. I can care less. Okay, but that's the truth. Now, we see that Satan will transform himself. He is the ultimate deceiver. He's the ultimate false witness. Amen. And God says you're not to bear false witness against your neighbor. Okay. Now, dragging the Lord's name through the mud, claiming something that you are not, is a form of false witness. Okay. Hang on a second. Let me see if I have it. Let's see. Do I have it? You know what? Let me give you an example. Okay? Got a copy here. The Book of Mormon, written by the angel Moron. Says another testament of Jesus Christ. Okay? Don't you think this is also a false witness? It is, isn't it? You know why? Because it's a lie straight from the pit of hell. There is only two testaments, the old and the new. This is not the inspired word of God. This is a cursed gospel. This is cursed Mormon doctrine right here. This is a false witness right here. Okay, that's false. Okay. Let me tell you something. This King James Bible is the true and faithful witness, isn't it? So if this is a true and faithful witness, what does that tell you about all these New Age Bibles? They're false witnesses, aren't they? You know why? Because a lot of these New Age Vaticanus Sinaiticus Bibles, all these New Age Bibles that stem from the Vaticanus and Sinaiticus, which is about 99% of all these New Age Bibles. Actually, it's like, let me take that back. It's 100% of all these New Age Bibles. 100% of all these New Age Bibles that come from the Vaticanus and Sinaiticus are false witnesses. And I'll tell you why. They're false witnesses because some of these translations make it seem like Jesus fell from heaven. That's not right. And some of them say that there is a son of the gods, little g, in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's not right either. And I don't want to hear this nonsense that, oh, well, that's just how Nebuchadnezzar talked because he's a pagan. Listen, Nebuchadnezzar knew who God was. Matter of fact, I believe from a scriptural point of view that Nebuchadnezzar is in heaven because he believed on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I'm going to tell you something. If he believed on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I'm going to tell you something. He knew by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he knew who Jesus Christ was. So I don't want to hear this, well, Nebuchadnezzar said son of the gods because that's just how they were. That's nonsense. I don't buy that nonsense. That's garbage. You just I'll tell you what, you stick with the King James, you stick with your Bible and let God be true and every man a liar, amen? When you stick with the Word of God and when you stick with what God says, you can never go wrong. You can never go wrong. Amen? You let God be true and every man a liar. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 19. It says, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. I'm going to tell you something. There are, by the way, you want to know who these false witnesses are? They're wolves in sheep's clothing. Okay, wolves in sheep's clothing. Wolves in sheep's clothing. If I can find it. Gotta find it here. Oh, here we go. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, Jesus says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Matthew 10:16, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. Luke chapter 10, verse 3, go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Acts chapter 20, verse 29, for I know this, that after my departing, grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Okay? Wolves in sheep's clothing. You know, I heard this said one time, and I think it was something, if I remember correctly, it was something that Pastor Reg had spoke to Pastor Mike about. And he said, if you want to know something profound about wolves in sheep's clothing, you know, wolves in sheep's clothing aren't sheep. Okay? Wolves in sheep's clothing aren't sheep. Wolves in sheep's clothing are false witnesses. Amen? They are false witnesses. He that speaketh, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 27, he that speaketh truth sheweth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. Okay, let's stop right there for a second. Let's see here. I want to see something here because sometimes I haven't been as prepared. Actually, hang on a second. I think I know what it is. Let me... Okay, turn with me. I want you guys to turn with me in your Bibles. Okay, let's go to 1 Kings. Okay, 1 Kings chapter 21. 1 Kings 21. Okay, we're gonna see an example of false witnesses. 1 Kings 21. First Kings chapter 21, and we're going to start in verse 8, okay? Now, in the context of this, let's start in verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 21, we're going to start in verse 1, because we're going to get some context here, okay? And it says, "And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria." Okay? A vineyard. Think about it. What is your vineyard? Your King James Bible. Your DNA. And by the way, God says, don't change it. Don't sell it. Amen? Question is, are you going to stand for the true vineyard, or are you going to sell it out? "And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I'll give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me, that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house, and heavy and displeased, because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite has spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed, and turned away his face, and would not eat no bread. But Jezebel his wife came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite and said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel his wife said unto him, dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite. So she wrote, now here's the key part here, okay? So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, and sealed them with his seal, and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in his city, dwelling with Naboth. Right there. She pretended to be Ahab by writing it and signing it in Ahab's name and sealing it with Ahab's seal. That right there is false witness, isn't it? And I'm going to tell you something. Men, be very careful. Be very careful. Especially pastors, be careful that you don't have Jezebels trying to use you to usurp authority. Jezebels will go after pastors, church leaders, and they will use, and she will use them for power and to her own advantage. When you see Jezebels and serpents, you're supposed to take the rod, which is the word of God, and you start smacking them out of the church, getting these Jezebels and serpents out. You know why? Because they're going to usurp authority. They're going to cause division. They're going to bear false witness. and divide the church up. Okay? Like, going back to Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 19, it says, "A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren." That's what Jezebels do. Jezebel soweth discord. And by the way, don't be naive and don't be ignorant in thinking that the Jezebel spirit only resides in females. The Jezebel spirit can reside both in females and males. Let's not be naive. Let's not be ignorant of that matter. I'll tell you what, I had an elder that would tell me, "Brandon, don't be stupid. Don't be like an ostrich and put your head in the sand thinking everything's okay." We're supposed to be wise. Let's not be stupid. Let's be wise. Let's think with our brains about these things. Let's have discernment about these things. Jezebels will come in and usurp authority and bear false witness to have and get their way. By the way, you want to know how you get rid of them? The rod. You take the rod and smack them out. You know how you smack out the Jezebels and the wolves? You open up that Bible and you preach Bible. That's how you smack them out of there. Amen? Jezebels will usurp authority and they will bear false witness. Make no mistake. Okay? And she wrote in the letters saying, "Proclaim a fast and set an above on high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying, 'Thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him that he may die.'" Let me tell you something. Jezebel was wanting other people to bear false witness against Naboth. What does that sound an awful lot like? Sounds like what happened to Jesus Christ, didn't it? Okay, we're going to come back to that. Okay, we're going to come back to that. And place your finger or put a bookmark or something in there, because we're coming back to that. Let's get to Matthew chapter. Let's see here. I think it's Matthew 26. Okay, Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Whoops. I'm in John. I gotta go to Matthew. Matthew 26. And let's see here. 59. It says, "Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none." At the last came two false witnesses and said, "This fellow said, 'I'm able to destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days.'" Do you know why that was a false witness? That's a false witness because they thought that Jesus was actually talking about the actual temple that was in Jerusalem that took 46 years to build. Think about 46. What's 46 associated with? Your DNA. DNA. The chromosomes where the DNA is stored. Now let me tell you something. These false witnesses said that Jesus said that he destroyed the temple and built it up in 3 days. But the reason, and like I said, the reason why that was a false witness was because what Jesus was really talking about was his body. Was his body. Okay. Know ye not that we are the temple of the living God? Amen. We are the temple of the living God. Let me find that verse here for you. Paul writes about it. He writes it in his epistles. Let's see here. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. It says, "In what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Can I get an amen from God's people on that? You are the living temple. You are the temple of the living God. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus Christ was talking about how he will destroy his body, and in 3 days he will build it up again. And these two false witnesses bore false witness against him, saying that he was actually going to destroy the literal temple when Jesus was talking about his body. Amen. Now, so we see that that there was false witnesses against Jesus. And we see that there was false witness against Naboth. You know what's interesting? I think Naboth, in a manner and way, Naboth is a type and picture of Christ. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but when you think about it, Naboth, they set false witnesses against Naboth, and Naboth was killed, and he was an innocent man. Jesus Christ was innocent and was killed. You know why? Because our sin put him on the cross. And I'm going to tell you something. With Naboth and Jesus Christ, they both had false witnesses go against them. And the Bible says, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy brethren." Can I get an amen from God's people on that? Now, with that said, let's go back to 1 Kings. Okay, let's go back to 1 Kings. And it says, "And set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying, Thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him that he may die. And the men of his city, even the elders and the nobles who were the inhabitants in his city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, and as it was written in the letters which he had sent unto them. They proclaimed the fast and set Naboth on high among the people. And there came in the two men, children of Belial, and sat before him. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones that he died." Okay, you know what? Let's stop right there. Let's go back to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. You know what's really interesting? What was Naboth accused of? Naboth was accused of blaspheming against the king and against who? God. Let's read what happened to Jesus. Okay? "And the high priest arose and said unto him, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witnesses against thee? But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast said, nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of glory. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, He hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witness? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, He is guilty of death." Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ and Naboth had false witnesses against them. They were both innocent. They both died. They both had false witness against them. And they were both accused of blasphemy. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. No man, I don't care what people have to say. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. If you don't believe me, turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Timothy 3, 16. I'm getting going here. I'm getting going. Woo! 1 Timothy 3, 16. It says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached on the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." Turn with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." Verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Jesus Christ was innocent. He spoke no blasphemies. I'm going to tell you something. The religious leaders, they bore false witness. You know why? Because they said they believed in God, but they rejected Christ. And Jesus Christ is God the Son. He is God in the flesh. And it was those professing religious leaders that claimed to believe God, yet they rejected Christ. Let me tell you something. You can be anywhere and yet say you believe in God, but yet you can reject him. You know why you how that's possible? Because if you claim to know God and yet you reject him, it means you were never born again. And by the way, when you claim to know God and you don't have a personal relationship with him, you bear false witness not just to God, but to everybody around you. And I'm going to tell you something. We should not take that lightly. That's serious. Without Christ, you are sinners. Without Christ, we are sinners on the way to hell. I'm going to tell you something. Hell is hot. Without Christ, we are sinners on our way to hell. Repent of your sins. Turn to Jesus Christ. Accept him into your life. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. Have a personal relationship with Christ. That's what it's about, is having a personal relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Now, "Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead." Okay. "And it came to pass that when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said unto Ahab, Arise and take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money, for Naboth is not alive, but dead." Let me tell you something, guys. And ladies, let me tell you something, y'all. Jezebel is notorious at bearing false witness. She's notorious at it. Satan is notorious for bearing false witness. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Let's continue on. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 5. "A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies." Proverbs 19:5. "A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape." Proverbs 19:9. "A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish." Proverbs 21:28. "A false witness shall perish, but the man that heareth speaketh constantly." Proverbs 25:18. "A man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow." You know why? Because when you find out that either people are lying to your face or they're withholding information from you, that can hurt, can it? That can hurt. And it can hurt like the dickens. It can hurt real bad. Amen? It can hurt. And sometimes you kind of feel like something got... You just felt like he got stabbed. Matthew 15:19. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murderers, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Let me tell you something. Paul says there is no good thing that dwells within me. You know why? Because we're filthy sinners. And for those of you that are born again, you're sinners saved by grace through faith. But you still have a filthy flesh you got to struggle with. Even I have to struggle with my filthy flesh. Amen? Matthew 19:18. He saith unto him, which Jesus said, thou shalt... He saith unto him, which Jesus said, Thou shalt do no more murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Mark chapter 10, verse 19. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. You know, it's funny. We got a lot of politicians, and even I bet we've got a lot of politicians and a lot of governmental agencies that don't really go by that, do they? They do defraud. And actually, our politicians are mostly notorious at that too. Our politicians are so notorious, they defraud not just other politicians, but they defraud the American people. But Jesus says, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. Mark 14:56. How many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together? Luke 18:20. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. Last one, we'll close. Romans 13:9. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Let me tell you something. Paul was right in what he said. Because he basically quoted Jesus. Amen. Let's take a look at that verse again. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. You know what Paul just did there? He quoted the last half of the Ten Commandments. You know what he did? And he condensed it down. He condensed it down to one commandment. By the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he condensed it down to one commandment. And what was that? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So the question I have for you is, do you really love your neighbor as yourself? Do you really love your neighbor as you should? I'm going to tell you something, folks. Don't you dare tell me that you can keep all the commandments and yet you don't even love others. Let me tell you something. If you truly loved others, you would tell them the truth as it is and you wouldn't withhold anything from them. And all you pastors, all you fake and phony pastors, and all of the good Bible pastors, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you both groups. Both of you groups, let me tell you both something. Do you tell the truth as you should. Okay? Conservative Bible Baptist preachers. Okay? I'm going to speak to you now. Okay? Let me speak to you on this. Do you really tell your congregation the truth of what's going on? Or do you just sort of compromise and say, I don't want to talk about that because I'm afraid people will get mad at me? Listen, if God tells you to do something, you do it. If God tells us to do something, we should do it. I'm going to tell you something. If you fail to warn people, you will have blood on your hands. And by the way, if you have blood on your hands, that means you failed. You failed to warn someone of something that you should have. You withheld truth from somebody. To withhold truth or to tell a half a truth is bearing false witness. We're all guilty of that. In some way, shape, or form, we're all guilty of that. Now, all you fake and phony preachers, all you mega church, you two-faced, stuck-up, fake and phony preachers who do mega churches, let me tell you something. Do you tell your congregation the truth? Or do you tell them a half-truth and you mix it with a whole bunch of lies? Because I'm going to tell you something. If you do that, you are guilty. You're just as guilty as anybody else of bearing false witness. You know what the good news is? Here's the good news. No one has to go to hell. But if you reject God and reject God's word, you're going to put yourself in hell based on what you did and based on your decisions and based on your choices and based on your choice of rejecting God's word. But I'm going to tell you something, that doesn't have to be. Nobody has to go to hell. As a matter of fact, God says in his word, it's not God's will for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. The question I have for you is, will you repent of your sins? Will you repent of your sins? Will you come to Jesus Christ? Will you have a personal relationship with him? I know I said we'll wrap up, but I got so much coming at me right now. Second Chronicles 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Repentance must first begin at the house of God. Do you know why? Because judgment first begins at the house of God. Judgment must first begin at the house of God. My question is, are you willing to repent of your sin, turn back to Jesus Christ, or turn to Jesus Christ? Repent of your sins, asking him to forgive you of your sins, asking him into your heart and life, believing in on your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins and that he resurrected on the third day. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is who he says he is, and that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. It's very easy. All you have to do is to go before the Lord, repent of your sins, ask him to forgive you of your sins, ask him to cleanse you of your sins, asking him into your heart and life, asking him to be the Lord and Savior of your life, asking him to come and live in your heart, asking him to fill you with his spirit, and then thanking him for saving you. If you can truly, with an honest and sincere heart, repent of your sins and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, you'll be saved. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. When you become saved, God seals you with His Spirit. And if you're sealed, you're sealed. Amen. Now listen, I don't want you taking my word for things. Okay? Matter of fact, I don't want you to believe what I say. I want you to take what I say and you match it with this book. If what I said does not match with this book, let God be true and every man a liar. And if I'm wrong, in one of these days, I'm going to have to stand before God in judgment day and give an account to every word I said. But if I'm right, I ask that God will show you what I'm talking to you about. And I'm going to tell you something. If I'm wrong, God will deal with me. But if I'm right, God will show you, and He might even deal with you on some things in your life. Amen. So listen, I love you guys. Okay? I do. So truth ain't pretty to look at. But hard preaching is a necessity, and it's something that needs to be said and done. Amen. Now, I'm going to kind of do like a mini invitation. As the song plays, if the Lord is dealing with you, I want you to take some time to repent of your sin. Amen. Please take some time to go before the Lord and seek His face and pray and repent. Amen. So as this is playing, if the Lord is dealing with you, I want to invite you to get that right. Amen. I'll play a couple verses of this and we'll close. Tell you something, guys. Lord loves you. He loves you. He cares for you. He wants to have a relationship with you. Question is, will you choose to let Him into your heart and life? Couple announcements real quick before we get done. Some things God has been working with me on, I'm going to be kind of making some changes to my broadcasts. There will not be any more Pastor Brandon Live. This will be under the Pastor Brandon Live section on YouTube and on Sermon Audio, but it will no longer be called Pastor Brandon Live. It's going to be called Fishers of Men. And the reason for that is I want to make it less complicated, make it simple. I don't want to confuse people. I know that there may have been some confusion in the past, and I apologize. But I'm just really going to be condensing the two into one. So whatever I do for both of them, it's just going to be one broadcast. It's just going to be the Fishers of Men broadcast. I'm going to be kind of doing some changes to kind of improve on it. Wherever the Lord takes me to it. So you pray for me on that. Pray for me on the Sermon Audio page, Sermon Audio Ministry. I think they actually have something new where they can upload. I think there's something on Sermon Audio that links up to Facebook, so I'm trying to figure out how that works. So you pray for me on that too. Pray for me on the YouTube ministry. Please keep the Fishers of Men ministry in prayer. Let's see here. Oh, also too, there is times where I will go down and I will preach at the VA. So what I like to do or start doing is I like to try to start, doing live recordings of my messages, and I will post them up on Sermon Audio. I believe this past Sunday, I preached there and I recorded the message. The video angle is going to be kind of weird for a little bit, so I could figure out a way to get a tripod or something for it. So pray for me on that. There's just a lot of things I like to do. So keep me in prayer for that. Let's see what else. I think that's going to be about it. So you keep me in prayer, keep my ministry in prayer. It's good to be back. I'm sorry I haven't done as much videos as I can. I do have a break. We just got done with Faith Bible Institute for the semester, so I won't be getting back into that again till next. When is Faith Bible again? I can't remember. It's next semester. I can't remember when next semester is. So I'm going to be taking every Friday and doing videos if I can on Fridays. So you pray for me on that. But anyways, I think that's going to be about it. But listen, I love you guys. I hope this video was a blessing to you. I just want to be a blessing to you. I know that I'm telling you what. Devil really likes to get on my case and stuff like that, so you pray for me and protection for me. Listen, I love you guys. God bless you. You guys have a great night. If the Lord willing, we'll see you next time. All right, God bless you guys. Love you. We'll see you next time.